Dan Chenick is the head of the IBM Center for the Business of Government, talking about his top three for 2013. Dan, Happy New Year to you. The first thing that you're talking about in your list is cybersecurity. Do you think that is the overarching thing that agencies will have to face in this coming year?
Thanks, Francis, and Happy New Year to you. I think cybersecurity touches many, many things and increasingly more things that agencies do during the year, and 2013 will see that continue to increase. Agencies will continue to put more things online. People in agencies will connect with each other and with the private sector, with citizens in new and different ways, and that will open up more challenges and more channels that can be exploited by those who would do harm to the government, or even in terms of if technology is not working quite as well as it should, leading to some problems in terms of how the technology operates that can be seen as cybersecurity exploits. So I think all those things will lead to greater attention to this, in addition to all of the policy discussions that are happening.
Do you see on the cybersecurity horizon any game changers, anything that will allow the government to take a different posture than they've been able to take so far when it comes to cyber?
Well, I think you'll see a lot, assuming that there is an executive order coming out of the administration, which has been heavily reported. I think you'll see a number of new activities from agencies, from the Department of Homeland Security, as well as other agencies that are involved in the lead role in this activity. I also think that there will be more progress in terms of the way that we identify ourselves to make sure that when we deal with other people in cyberspace, we know and have confidence that we're dealing with the right person and not somebody that's trying to perpetuate fraud or harm. And that'll come through the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace and some of the work that the National Institute of Standards and Technology at the Department of Commerce is leading around identity management.
The second item on your list of top three for 2013 is managing efficiently for better government and dollar savings. Is it your sense that Congress is satisfied with the connection that agencies are trying to make between those two items?
Well, I think that there's been not as much connection between those two items in the government setting as we've seen occur in many companies and in some governments, even at the state level. Clearly, setting budget targets and budget caps, and having practiced this for many years at OMB, I understand the power of those caps to incentivize behavior, has the important role in this conversation. But agencies can also take a look at their internal operations, can take a look at what they do that's similar to what other agencies do, and maybe go to shared services to save money and not have to spend the money twice to do it. And can reduce do simple things like reduce the number of steps it takes to get a particular federal process done. All of those things can actually reduce operational costs, which can be captured in terms of how much agencies devote to operating a particular program. And I think in the current budget environment, agencies will be looking for more opportunities to take advantage of those types of efficiencies.
Dan Chenick, Executive Director of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. You mentioned shared services, and when you mention that, I think about strategic sourcing. And I wonder if agencies are ready culturally for that idea, or if it's going to be really hard for them to break out of the stovepipe mentality.
Well, that really leads into a little bit of the third issue that I mentioned, which is looking at new ways to leverage non-government resources to achieve public ends. And strategic sourcing is a form of that. It's using contracting more effectively to decide where and how you want to contract for services. So I do think that the work that OMB is leading out of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy is working with agency to issue new policies and try to implement those. You'll see more of that in 2013. Again, it's a way to make limited dollars go farther by contracting more efficiently and effectively.
Now, that might involve, though, doing some things dramatically different in the contracting realm than we've seen in the past, it would sound like.
Yes, and some of the government's work around challenges and prizes is an example of that. So our center has done some reports around this topic, looking at how agencies have done challenges well and basically for a much smaller amount of money gotten a much better result than they might have if they had gone through a traditional contract. Some of the work you're seeing out of the White House with the Presidential Innovation Fellows, where they bring in people from the private sector to deliver innovation that might have taken years to do before through through some sort of a contract action. They can now do in months and get new and innovative approaches and ideas from people that are outside the normal public sector sphere. I think all of those activities will be on the increase in 2013.
These methods that you would call, I guess, non-traditional are interesting to me because they're coming from non-traditional sources. They're coming from academia and they're coming from companies that are registering nowhere on the contracting landscape now. Is there a danger maybe that if these sources are not cultivated appropriately, they might get kind of either lost in the shuffle or maybe intentionally crushed by some of the companies that have something to lose by these innovative solutions being implemented more widely?
So I think there will always be a balance, basically a balance in the portfolio. Many companies have great knowledge and provide great value to the government and will continue to do so. At the margin, when the government's looking at what do I do with my last dollar, it's a question of how do you make that last dollar stretch most effectively. That doesn't really impact the significant amount of spending that goes on in the contracting realm of the $80 billion, I should say, that's spent every year on information technology, for example. It's the marginal dollar that really has the attention on the innovation. The vast majority of that funding will continue to be done, and companies will continue to work with the government to hopefully do it well in terms of implementing and executing on that technology spend. The same is true in other areas.
And I want to kind of tie that, your third item, leveraging non-government resources, back to your first one, cybersecurity, because it strikes me that there's a whole lot of work being done in cybersecurity from those non-government areas that we mentioned, academia and so forth, that could be a potential really terrific place, a resource for agencies to use just in that one area of specialty.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's sort of the modern version of the lonely hacker trying to figure out how to stop the bad guy, right? It's really looking at innovation and taking the examples of people and innovators from not just the Washington world, but Silicon Valley and around the world in terms of identifying the top cyber solutions. And as the government attends more to trying to find ways to secure the nation's infrastructure and work with companies who are involved in the critical infrastructure sectors to do the same, it will look clearly at all sources of protection and all forms of innovation.